Besides, the Decade musical was awesome.
Would have been better if someone had sung the Times Ranger song, though.
You know, that would have been better.
But no, somebody was pretending to be sick that week.
Somebody certainly was.
He had the black lung.
You want it now?
No, I don't want your black lung, Fort Max.
Talk to me when you've been down there for 30 years.
That's what she said?
It's 'cause I'll do it now.
Do it!
Everybody be quiet.
Beyond the future, black is the pole, out of our dreams, into our souls. When the clocks are ticking down to timeless eternity, how many single moments do you believe have counted after all? We're taking fate and fortune into our own two hands, yeah. 'Cause in this crazy city, there is awakening breeze a blow. It's coming, Time Ranger, bring us hope and spread it all across the naked ground. It's like a shooting fire, like showering sparks all around. More than 1,000, more than 1,000,000, beyond the count of billions and trillions, living in the now, we children of the future, we feel it coming. A new tomorrow, farewell to fear, farewell to sorrow. And if time can even heal all never-ending misery, unforgotten strength will bring us kindness we've seen somewhere before, to bind us to each other, togetherness of living. And if we just believe it, there is a waking dream that grows. I see it. Time Ranger, bring us hope. We know that living in the here and now is the one and only way to go into the future and beyond. Beyond forever, time after time, surpassing every freeze that arrives. Children of tomorrow, spinning out a future, out of our dreams. Into our souls, into the future, blackest of poles. It's coming, Time Ranger, bring us hope and spread it all across the naked ground. Just like a shooting fire, like towering sparks all around. More than 1,000, more than 1,000,000, beyond the count of billions and trillions. Children of tomorrow, spinning out a future, out of our dream, into our souls, into the future, blackest of holes. Wake up!
There you go.
Amazing.
Bravo!
I think that has broken the show.
Driver on. Please.
Rupert's Magic. Catch go.
Podcast. Please. This is Superhero Time with XV.
It's superhero time. We loves our bitches.
Hey, Mickey.
Honk, honk, I'm a car.
Paladin.
You gonna leave it in?
Ken.
Now I'm just Buster, bitch.
JD Church.
Despair.
And Fort Max.
Watch our movie.
It's time for Buster.
So this week on Superhero Time, Toy Fair.
Woo.
Buy stuff.
Paladin, you want to run down Toy Fair for us quickly?
Most of it's stuff we already know. There's a couple new things. Gosei Ultimate Megazord, which transforms into a playset that can hold the Gosei Morpher.
Okay.
Which I'm like, before I was like, okay, I had no interest in the Kite of Justice. And now it's like, I have this Ghost Say Morpher. And it'll
connect. What are you
going to
rest it on?
And, well, damn it.
What? Rest it on the Star Destroyer he keeps in the basement.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't have a basement. We don't have basements in the South.
Basement.
It's in the Alamo.
Well, no, you don't have basements in Oklahoma or Texas. Other places in the South can have basements.
Right. Yeah, not... oddly enough, we don't have basements where we have tornadoes, and they would be helpful.
Well, yeah.
So go figure that.
Funny how that works.
It is.
It's like the tornadoes know exactly where to hit.
Yes, they do. It's called Moore, Oklahoma.
So be sure to leave your microphone on.
That's right.
No, tomorrow
well,
we're getting
why do you
snow.
Think they always hit trailer parks?
Thankfully, I don't live close to one. So,
a tornado,
Oklahoma.
No, I don't. But where I'm at, geographically within Oklahoma City, I'm not close to a trailer park, so I'm okay. That's all on the south side of Oklahoma City.
In okay, the south side.
Poor young boy living in the south side of Oklahoma City in the ghetto.
Toy Fair.
Okay, there's also more Armored Might figures, including the Mighty Morphin Red Ranger with Dragon Shield and White Ranger, which looked like they took a huge dose of steroids.
And I believe the shield and armbands and stuff come off of that one, too.
What's the ring? Is it
Excite.
Excite! Yes.
Not Extrude, Excite.
Extrude!
Ew. Yeah, that's different.
Well, no. JD's ring... JD's ring would be Extrude.
Workout program. You've got so much protein that you're like, Extrude!
No, JD's ring would be Excrete.
Yes.
Everywhere.
They may get to that ring eventually. We don't know.
But yeah, the Armored Might figures don't look appealing to me.
I've seen them in stores. They're not...
How big are they, actually? Is it 8-inch or 6-inch?
6.
It's the same body mold that they used for the 15th anniversary series.
They're penis-sized.
Well, you know, it's that same over-muscled 6-inch body that they painted all of the other Ranger suits onto. Except now they've put shields on it.
The big question, though, is are they going to be fun for kids to play with?
No.
Oh.
It's going to be like Marvel Legends.
I think Marvel Legends are fun.
Well, you think Marvel Legends are fun because you have a shelf full of Iron Men puking into their helmets.
Like I said.
Right. That's fun for you, but not necessarily fun for a 6-year-old.
I don't know. Depends on where the 6-year-old is at.
Yeah, if it's in that trailer park on the south side of Oklahoma City, I mean, they could be all about that.
Totes, yes. That would be...
Until the tornado comes and, you know, blows it all away.
That's so poetic, it sounds like a song lyric.
And now it probably is somewhere.
You know, Fort Max, you still owe me that Time Ranger theme song.
I know.
He's been trying to. He's been trying to lay low.
If I don't mention it, he won't remember.
That's why he didn't start the call.
All right. So anyway, Paladin.
Okay, new roleplay weapon at Toy Fair: the Ultra Dragon Sword. The bastards cut off Tom Servo's head.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now it's only go see Danske shit.
What?
Yeah,
you know, some joke screen cap subset.
It's
someone
an
from Overtime
of an
had
in-joke.
When timing
it's...
one of the Gokaiger movies had the
right. So it's a fan subbing in joke. Nobody cares.
In joke of an in joke.
Yeah, that's our Fort Max,
and it's Go Sager, so nobody cares.
No f**ks were given that day.
Was it Toku Nation that had the poll that, have you seen Ghost Ager? Yes, I have, and it was awful. No, I haven't, and I never will. That was your options.
That could just as easily have been Hench and Justice, too.
I don't think they're completely wrong either way.
No, I mean, there's just some series that are basically universally despised, and for good reason. Ghost Ager is among them.
Yeah.
Although you have your few irregularities, which is
yes,
why
I've
we're
seen
getting
the fans of Ghost Ager. Some of them are frightening.
Which is why we're getting Ghost Ager resubbed. But I won't complain. I won't complain about that because Cocker Ranger's also getting subbed at the same time, so there's still a net gain. People. There is a net gain.
They're not complete monsters.
Yeah, I mean, the translator for Ghost Sager is also the translator for Cocker Ranger and Zoo Ranger.
So there you go.
Cocker Ranger's great.
And speaking of Zero Ranger, Figo Arts Zero Red and Zero Green were both on display. Ooh. And they're listed as release dates for summer 2013. So I'm guessing by July or August.
And they also had Deca Red, Super Shinken Red, and
SRC Deca Robo
and Shinkano.
Yeah.
So those four might be available through Bluefin.
Yeah, because Bluefin sent someone to Japan to go to all the stores where they're on clearance and buy them up.
You can get all of those for about 1,500 yen on Mandarake.
The plane ticket was cheaper.
So right now, someone's sitting in a room putting little Bluefin stickers on every one of those boxes.
It's like a stamp just to fuck with the guy. It's like, okay, lick it and then put it on there. Why doesn't it just have the sticky back? Shut up. Just lick it and put it on there.
That's what she said.
Yeah, just lick it and put it on there is totally an intro quote.
Oh. Yeah, actually, it's kind of a late start for me, too. You will never make it through all of my intro quotes because the rest of these dorks are smart enough not to say things that are funny.
Well, yeah, and the thing is with you, JD, I have to kind of pace myself and not mark down every single thing that could be an intro quote because there would just be too many.
I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but I'm going to go with good just to make me feel better.
Yes.
The boxes for Zero Red and Zero Green look pretty good, too.
Actually, that would be Tyranno Ranger and Dragon Ranger.
Yeah, I think that's what he... Yeah.
It's a shame we have no chance in hell of seeing the other four.
Well, yeah, but Japan may not see them either.
Yeah, well, you can't roll that out.
It's not unheard of for U.S. demand to... for figure arts to be made simply because of U.S. demand.
Dragon Ball Z.
Well, yeah, and that's kind of the thing. If those figures are produced specifically for the U.S. market first, it doesn't matter if they end up being exclusives in Japan, we will still get them.
Yeah.
The thing that stops us from getting exclusives is when they're exclusive first for Japanese people, and then they can't come and be available in a comic shop here.
Unless it's Black Condor.
Yeah, they did that with Black Condor.
Was Black Condor an exclusive?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the whole... That's why that was such a big deal.
Okay. I wasn't paying that much attention.
That was a web store exclusive.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And they still got it anyway.
Cool.
Which was awesome.
Well, good. Maybe the rules are changing.
They don't play by anybody else's rules.
Yeah.
Also, Sailor Moon was on display with a big sign saying pending license or approval, so... still kind of might suck.
Look pretty decent, though.
Well, hopefully she'll never come out.
But then you won't be able to buy one.
Then I won't have to buy one, you mean?
No, you won't be able to buy one.
Right.
I won't have to buy all of them.
Well, you don't know that...
Make all 10?
You don't know that more than one will ever come out.
I don't think it particularly matters. It's the thought that terrifies me.
Of course, even if they don't do any of the other characters, they could still do every version of Sailor Moon. That would take them a while.
See, I could resist that, though.
Well, yeah, because most of
basic.
Most of the later costumes look worse anyway.
Yeah.
And Bandai is continuing the Legacy Import Megazord series with Deluxe Gosei Great.
Yeah!
See, that's awesome that they're importing the Deluxe Gosei Great. And you'll never be able to get any more headers that will fit on it.
But I'm okay with it. Like,
can get the same damn thing off Mandarake for less than half the price.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It averages about 3,000 yen right now. Yes.
Okay, JD. Let me explain this to you. The Japanese people don't like Ghost Sager either.
Oh wow. Well, there you go.
You could even try to make a Korean version if you wanted.
Yeah.
Be about the same.
No, I'm really looking really hard at. At all the Buster machines and stuff. So.
Oh yeah,
I've got a $50 gift card to Amazon. I was like, I could get the first three for $100. It was like, Anyway,
maybe Paladin will sell you his.
Too late.
Oh,
already sold them.
Yes.
Man. Do you still have Hercules?
Yes.
How much for that?
Oh, wait, Buster Hercules? No.
What other Hercules are we talking about?
Kevin Sorbo Hercules.
Kevin Sorbo? The Kevin Sorbo figure? That's what I meant. Yes. So you don't have Beat or Sag?
No. I never got the damn lion.
So why did you say yes? Like, how was that confusing?
I have the Transformers Hercules.
Wow.
And now you know why he sold his Buster machines.
I'm just like, why would that even be part of the conversation? Okay. But, hey, bravo for that, though.
On the whole, though, I think I would rather have, you know, Hercules Devastator rather than, you know, a full set of Buster machines.
Oh, totes. Totes. Yeah.
So even if that was the case, I would not fault Paladin for making that choice.
No.
Right.
Well, I would, but just for comedic effect. You know,
because
dicks.
Because you are dicks.
That's right. That's my nickname now, too, apparently.
Oh, it is. I keep making the mistake every once in a while. Like, I get excited about something and, like, mention it to FB. And forget that he hates not everything, just whatever it is that you're excited about.
What was the conversation we had yesterday?
Ah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you IM'd me and said that you're a dork. And I said, okay, which one of the typical XV responses do you want at this point?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we basically got this whole cycle down.
I explained why. So.
Yeah.
And then he ridiculed me.
That's right. Did I?
No, you actually didn't, which was surprising.
I'm gonna guess yes.
I probably got distracted. I'll make it up on Wednesday. I'll make it up on Wednesday.
I appreciate that.
When we were talking about Minecraft on RFC.
Yeah, which was the entirety.
Are you back on RFC now?
I will be for Toy Fair wrap up this week, and then probably not anymore.
Until next time that he's on.
No, I like participating in RFC just with pre-record content.
Because it's interesting.
Because it's entirely on my schedule.
Yes, there's that.
Plus, then I can just choose to talk about the things that I want to talk about. Like the comics. I really like Transformers comics right now, except for the bad ones.
They're amazing. It's like I'm on a different planet.
One should I be reading? You never did answer that question.
More Than Meets the Eye is the best title, but Robots in Disguise is good, too.
Yeah. You can get the trade for More Than Meets the Eye pretty cheap, too.
They're like $12 on Amazon. I asked XV which is the good one, and he didn't answer me.
Yeah.
Dicks.
More Than Meets the Eye. Mm. That's what you want to do that. For sure.
Oh, but we were talking about Power Rangers or something.
Yeah, back at Toy Fair, they revealed all the Zord vehicles for the Gose Wonder set, the Leon Lasers coming here.
And its header is coming with as part of a motorcycle.
Yes, of course.
So yeah, wait.
So the headers that are the motorcycles, which ones are those again? Because I'm unfamiliar with all this stuff. I saw a gold one and one that looked like it had a machine gun thing.
That's the header for the Leon laser.
Okay,
so they're bringing out Ghost Knight's gun, but the specific header for it is not coming with the gun.
It's coming with the vehicle.
Yeah.
Is any header coming with the gun?
No.
Because Bandai.
Yeah.
They got to spread out your need for all the stuff, you know.
Although, I mean, again, points to them for finding a way to make you buy the damn motorcycles again and again and again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have motorcycles littering my desk right now.
And, of course, they're planning a shit ton of cards for the Gose Morpher, including the bulk cards.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I want them.
It's his own card.
How do I get that?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure they're random packed.
I want them to use that card in the show next season when they start summoning all these, you know, legacy Rangers and whatnot. Yes.
And there's a card for armored Mighty Morphin Red.
If you use the bulk card, does it throw a pie at the monster's face?
No. It throws a pie at an expensive wall.
No, see.
Does he play their music?
Now, see, here's the thing, though. The existence of a bulk card makes me disappointed we're probably not getting Ranger keys next year. Could you imagine the bulk Ranger key?
Oh, God. Well, I don't imagine, like, all the cards are going to have anything to do with anything.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, one leads to the other in concept.
Mm.
You know, if the cards are replacing Ranger keys...
But if it's a bulk card, wouldn't it be a Burgosaurus card? A Burgosaurus key?
That would be even better, actually. We should do that episode for Power Playback. Except that it sucks outside of that one quick sequence.
That is always a problem we have, where it's like we pick an entire horrible episode just for one good thing.
Now that's not always the case, because when we did that one episode of Ryukendo, I picked it for the one scene that I knew, and the entire rest of the episode was awesome.
That's true.
And then there's that episode of Die Ranger that we picked for Ko abusing his powers, and then there was other awesome stuff in it.
Oh, that was also Die Rangers are Dicks, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And it had the Illusion Rock Band.
Yes. So basically that was the one good Kiba Ranger episode in Die Ranger. We're gonna go with yes on that and move on.
Yeah.
Move on.
Well, that's about it for Toy Fair, but there was a couple things in Japan over the weekend.
Wonderfest.
At Toy Fair, there were some other things that they showed off, which were the missing super deformed figures from 2010 line that never made it out here.
Who cares?
Nothing of value was lost.
I like how Fort Max always follows up with the stuff that we try not to talk about because no one cared.
That's Fort Max. No one cared.
What was the other thing, though?
Just out of curiosity.
Which thing where?
Well, Fort Max said there was a couple of things. He doesn't know.
Nope.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. They were showing off the diecast version of the 2010 Zord, and the packaging's nice. Too bad it has all that diecast and is the 2010 mold.
Yeah,
and too bad there's
terrible.
No Dragon Zord.
And they also said no Dragon Power Morpher in the Legacy line, and no Datami's coins.
We were shocked.
We may not have been shocked, but we can still be disappointed. Just like with the Dragon Zord.
So yes.
BOA hates the color green.
I guess.
And gold, apparently.
And red. That was Culture Club. Red, gold, and green.
So, what was interesting at Wonderfest?
Go say Wonder?
To Super Sentai? Not that much.
Well, then why'd you even bring it up?
No. Relating to our show, sort of, Bandai's announced a new special promotion called Rider Stages for several reissues of SH Figure Arts characters.
Oh, is this the Ami Ami is Dicks thing?
Yes. They're doing special stands that correspond with each of the Heisei-era riders that have been released in Figo Arts thus far, including one for Beast, which means he's up soon.
Yay.
Eh.
So, and to go along with that, they're doing reissues of Agito, Tatoba, Four's Base States, Kabuto, and Ryuki.
Why?
I'm like, why are they reissuing Base States?
Or Tatoba, who nobody wanted.
Yeah. It's like, this is some of the strangest reissues.
Because now they have a stand for it.
Yeah,
can't they f***ing reissue the B?
Yeah, exactly. Let's reissue because something that people want.
Bees. Well, apparently people want the B because he's like over $100 every time I look him up.
Yeah. That thing is hard to get.
Plus bees.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Bees.
I can't believe I'm going to have to get this Kite of Justice. Wow.
It's good
only $40, right?
Sure.
It's good that they're reissuing Ryuki, at least.
Why?
He's one people actually want.
Yeah, I haven't seen
him. He is really nice. I'm glad I got him.
I assume the reissue will still come with Drag Rudder.
Maybe better, because otherwise he'd be very disappointing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. So it probably won't come with it.
No. But you can get that stand.
That's about how long will those stands last?
Well, if
mine's
you don't
still unbroken,
if you don't use the stand, it'll last for a couple of months. If you
had a problem with the stand. I don't understand.
You don't understand.
I think
the
it's
stand?
Just cam hands.
I don't. That's what I'm saying too. It's like I have done a lot of reposing and repositioning and moving my stands around, and I have not broken one yet. And all of my figures have stands.
No, it's fragile clear plastic.
Okay.
Well, when did I get my Ryuki last year? Like, spring?
I have no idea. I don't even remember when it came out originally.
I got it just last year, but that stand's still fine.
Yeah.
I'm not a crack on it.
You just gotta be gentle.
I should have looked at it more closely when I was there to find a crack just to prove you wrong.
Of course that would be his first thought.
You put a crack in just to prove you wrong.
Yeah, he would crack it and be like, look at this crack.
You could not prove that.
Yes, we could.
Well, it's okay. I'm probably coming back in April, so we can settle it then.
Yeah, get off for that, though, because it's a middle work week, so.
Well, yeah. Well, how far in advance can you request days off?
A month.
Oh, well, then we have to wait a while.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they don't let you request them off more in advance than that.
Well, the thing about my job is that sometimes it's retarded.
Yeah, it's not like people die on a schedule, you know.
Well, no, but the more noticed, the more chance there is to schedule someone else to fill a space. Yeah. To work, I mean, not in a coffin.
Yeah, but, you know, that takes work.
It's more complicated than that.
Yeah. I guess.
It's a family business, not a corporation. Therefore, there's lots of inner bullshit.
Well, yeah. Okay, any more news?
Yeah, the last item out of Japan this week is the first look at Kyoru Gold's Megazord.
Where did it have arms and crotch.
There are hands growing out of its crotch.
Awesome.
Now, to be fair, if you're going to have an extra set of hands sprout out of you, I think
Where else would you want them?
Yeah, your crotch is a really good place for them.
I mean, because that's convenient. You don't even have to, like, reach or anything.
Or, you know, unzip.
Well, it frees your two other hands to use the mouse.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, that's a good mental image right there.
Wait. Why do you need two hands to use the mouse?
Well, if you're looking at a lot of porn, you need two computers set up.
Oh, that's an excellent.
So you need a mouse in each hand.
Okay, I could see that, actually. That makes a lot of sense. And now I think I need to get another computer in here.
I kind of like the design of this thing, though.
Where did I miss
the base mode?
I'd like to see how it interacts with the other Kyoru Megazords.
I can tell you.
It combines
fold
with
up them. No, his two robot arms fold up to become wings again, and you just plug in your accessory arms in the little holes.
Mm. So, crappily.
Yes. And then it also becomes a wing backpack for the main Megazord.
Mm.
Using its crotch hands.
Surprise.
Ah, yeah. See, I figured out the crotch hands. And so it can give Kyoryugen a reach around.
Oh.
So it's a well-mannered Zord, then.
No, see,
rude.
If you've got crotch hands, then when you grab that person by the ass in front of you, see, you can have the other hands to put on the shoulders. So it's like you got a pair of hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I get it now. Good thinking, Japan.
Of course it would be Japan to think of that.
Japan's like, don't you hate when you can't put a pair of hands on the ass and a pair of hands on the shoulders? Now you can! With crotch hands.
So I'm reading this post where these pictures are, and I just noticed that its combined mode is Teridano Western.
Yes.
What?
Well, Western is also a name they gave to Kyoryugen when it has different arms. So I'm guessing it's a universal name.
That is so weird. Although I like Kyoryugen Kung Fu.
Okay.
I don't care for it so much.
But it's kind of entertaining.
Could be different when we see it fight.
It'd be better as Kyoryugen Muay Thai.
Probably too hard to strike that pose in the suit.
Kyoryugen Krav Maga?
Okay.
It'd just be all brutal and shit.
Just because I want to hear them say that in Japanese.
Krav Maga?
Okay, is that the end of the news?
Yes, I think that's all the important crap.
Okay, now Paladin will tell us about Megaforce for this week.
Use the Megaforce.
Oh, hooray.
I didn't get to watch this either.
You didn't watch Megaforce?
I had to work all weekend. I've been out of it.
Good thing I didn't call on you then.
No, that would have sucked for you.
Well, it still will because I had to call him Paladin instead.
Oh, that's a good point.
And I'm still waiting for him to actually start talking.
Okay, the original place I watched it seems to have taken it down, so I'll see if I can go off from memory.
Did they take it off Hulu?
That's probably close enough.
Did they upload it finally? It wasn't there last time I looked.
When was the last time you looked?
Yesterday.
Now I think
it's there.
You could have lied. Said no.
Yeah, f*** it. I'm not signing up for Plus.
So anyway, the second episode of Megaforce aired.
And it does not completely suck yet.
Yay.
Yeah, I mean, Samurai was a lot worse than this at this point. It's too bad Ken wasn't with us this week. He had some thoughts on it.
I didn't get to see it, otherwise I'd talk about it.
Yeah, I feel really bad now because I'm like, man, I didn't see it and can't say anything positive.
Basically, what I recall of Ken's take on it is that Yellow is a bitch. And having watched the episode, I don't think he's wrong.
Yeah, she is kind of...
Well, if they're playing up the high school tropes, then someone has to be the bitch.
Yeah.
Trini was kind of a bitch.
Trini? Really? I always thought that Kimberly was initially, but...
Initially, yes, but in the long run, Trini just seemed kind of cold and heartless, I thought.
It's probably because the actor got pissed because they kept trying to shove her into this, hey, you're Asian, you should be smart. Help Billy make this thing.
Can you do math for us?
My suit's wrinkled. Can you take care of that?
Can you imagine someone on the set trying to decide how big a wall should be? Hey, Trini, yeah, what's 37 times 24? First of all, Trini is not Trini. Second of all, I have no idea. That would be great.
This is the best Megaforce segment we've had so far.
But yeah, on all of the Rangers from season one were assholes.
What?
Well, all the Rangers from season one were assholes. I mean, these are the same people who would... remember what happened when Kimberly and Billy had that punk potion or whatever, and Kimberly was going to be going out on a date with Skull?
They got pregnant and had Spike?
No, the date didn't happen.
We established this last week.
Because they got the antidote and,
Now, by antidote, you mean morning after, right?
This was before the date.
Bravo!
Well done. Yeah. In season one, everyone's an asshole.
This is our mistake antidote. This is ensuring that I'm not pregnant with our fifth child and you're working at Burger King in 10 years.
Okay, so that was Megaforce.
Cool. That was a great episode. I'm excited to watch it.
Damn it, Ken.
Although watching this episode did remind me that Ghost Ager had good mecha action, at least early on. Because the Megazord battle in this episode was actually pretty fun to watch.
Yeah.
And this was like the only time they had that much staging in the
Zord
fights.
And actually on the wall of the crazy science teacher's office, there had the symbol for the
new space dumpster that trapped the other set of monsters.
Yeah.
No, it's the magic rice cooker. We established this during Ghost Ager.
It's a little of both. Dumpster would be more appropriate for Ghost Ager.
As a whole, yes.
The villains were the best. Why would you put the villains of Ghost Ager in the dumpster? It's the Ghost Agers that need that.
Yeah. No, I think everything from that show needed that. Everything.
They spoke, they were bad.
And unfortunately, it seems the Ostrich Zord never got back out of the dumpster. It saddened me there's no Ostrich Zord in Megaforce.
It is sad.
I probably would have bought that.
You still can on Mono Rocket.
I imagine a lot of people.
Although, no, I could see him actually replacing the Ostrich Zord with, a motorcycle toy.
Well, yeah, that just clips on the arm. Ostrich is the only thing that's not coming out. I mean, if we're getting...
Well, Datus.
Yeah, well, and Datus. Yeah, but that's... No one cares about that.
Yeah.
They replaced that in a good way.
Also, if they didn't change things the way they did, it would have been really hard to market the Megaforce Ghost Ager toys.
Change him how?
Well, and get rid of Datus and make the headers be part of the motorbike things. How would they have sold the headers otherwise?
Two-pack?
Badly? Badly?
Yeah, probably in a two-pack.
Unsuccessfully?
Yeah. You're in three-packs in the original line, and those are at 800 yen at Mandarake right now.
Nobody knows Ghost
Ager. 600.
Can you imagine seeing this package of just the heads by themselves hanging on the pegs?
Yes.
I don't think they would sell.
Oh, they wouldn't sell, but I can't imagine.
That's why I can imagine them.
Oh.
So, yeah. Okay, so I guess that means it's time
for
Wizard
now. Well, the alternative
now.
Would be packing them in with the deluxe swords.
You're right. You got to sell more stuff.
Yeah.
That's the best marketing ever. It's like, you know, we could just put them in with the stuff we're actually selling and group them together and not make extra money. Yeah, you're fired. Okay.
I'll see myself out.
Let that door hit me on the way out.
Buy all our playsets and toys.
Steve, what do you think? Well, I think we ought to make like motorcycles that are all exactly the same. We'll just put different heads on them. Charge them more money? Absolutely. You're promoted.
No, what they should do is do like individual blind bagged headers.
Oh, God, yes.
Well, that's how they could do the exotic ones.
Blind box cell headers. Yes.
Did you say you wine know, box?
Oh, yes.
Yes, I did. You know what you're thinking.
I'd like that better.
Which ones are the exotic ones?
The ones that wear bikinis and do pole dances.
What?
You just blew Fort Max's mind.
You can't even think of that.
He's trying to imagine a header do a pole dance.
Now he's just thinking of a pole dance.
It's not that difficult. Well, anyway, time for Wizard.
Driver on! Lunchtime L-I-O!
Yeah, yeah, pick a force is okay.
Lunchtime.
Time for the ring boring wizard.
Yes. Okay, so last
21, right?
So last week on Wizard, Haruto got defeated by the Phantom of the Opera, but the White Wizard saved him and basically told him, "Okay, it's time to be a dick to the dragon again until you get a new power up."
No, totally. The White Wizard is a fan of Showa Riders. And he saw that episode of Sky Rider and thought, that's how you do training. So he just let Haruto's dragon beat the shit out of him until he was stronger.
Yeah, that's basically how that works.
Also, his belt is rude. It just wants things now.
Yeah, I love the White Wizard belt like that, though.
Well, do you know what's great about that? The Addams Family. What's the magic word? Now.
Ooh, that is good.
Hmm.
Oh, man.
That's the weirdest thing for Japan to reference.
If it is, which, I mean...
It has to be.
God, yes.
Like, it's too specific.
Wow. Holy crap.
That's pretty awesome.
Mind blown.
So, anyway, while Haruto's busy somewhere dark getting beaten until he's more powerful, Rinko's having a nice day out with Phoenix.
You know, for a minute there, she was really smart. She actually was doing, like, stuff, like her character, and then she went all dumb again.
So basically, over a box of donuts, she manages to encourage Phoenix to say screw you to his bosses and just do whatever the hell he wants and not worry about the consequences anymore.
It just happens to be mindless destruction.
She done goofed.
Why would she suggest this to him?
Well, because it's Japan and she's female.
Apparently she didn't know at the time it was Phoenix.
Yeah.
She just thought, you know, well, this is just some phantom who's not interested in going and doing the whole despair thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, just don't worry about what your bosses say. Go live a life or
and
something.
She was right. He's not interested in doing the despair thing.
That's right.
He just wants to do the killing thing.
Or worse, specifically, the killing wizard.
I want him to kill her right now.
And so Haruto gets a new watch and splits into four and beats up Conductor Phantom and, you know, and Beast is basically completely irrelevant.
You know, remember, like, other series where, like, the secondary rider showed up and he was badass for, like, several episodes and...
No.
Then goes to jobbing.
Yeah. Well, basically,
until
Beast
they need
went
to sell more toys.
To
yeah, Beast gets that first part.
Beast has Geki Violet syndrome. Only there's no Geki Chopper replacing him.
Yeah. Yeah. Beast got Geki Violeted to a watch. Think about that.
Yeah.
That's a watch that they break.
Which brings us around to the next episode. JD? Hey.
Well, this isn't much more exciting because basically...
Because it's whiskey.
Basically, after Phoenix, like, beat up Rinko... Then,
oh, he didn't even beat her up.
No, he just, like, he just firebombed and, like, she,
yeah.
you know, got knocked unconscious.
Yeah, she was just in the way.
Yeah. And then most of the cast wanders around for, like, 2 days and, like, hey, we haven't seen Rinko. I wonder where she is. No idea. I don't know. Cool.
Let's go buy a big bologna.
Let's go buy a big bologna.
It's not like Haruto has all these familiars he can send out.
Yeah, really. Oh, my God. This episode is so bad compared to the rest of the series for that reason. Because all of the conventions set up, like the fact that he reads the script and that he has the familiars, all just, like, completely forgotten.
Although they did remember one thing they've been neglecting for a while, so.
Okay.
Which was?
National security guy.
Oh, yeah. They called him just to remember that he's there because he wasn't f***ing helpful at all.
I guess the actor wanted some extra cash that week.
Anyway.
It's like, hey, is this guy still on payroll? Oh, we probably ought to do something with him.
So Haruto and Goofball Shunpei are, like, going off to get groceries and shit because they're like, yay, I got a timer thing. B stops him, and now he's, like, lounging on top of a building for whatever reason and puts their...
Because
their
the owner is letting him live there because he saved him?
Yeah, I was trying to skip that part, but thanks for reiterating it.
That's his job.
And, So, yeah, and then he takes her bologna, whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The important thing
unfortunate
is...
Unfortunate euphemism.
Yeah, he takes their bologna.
He tries to obligate them. He tries to obligate them into telling him when they see phantoms, you know. It doesn't really work either.
Because
anyway,
like he has familiars that can tell him when he sees phantoms.
Meanwhile, that weird little fairy guy gives Shunpei Rinko's...
He established this last time. It's Gay Shataro.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gay Shataro.
Or you know, Ryutaros.
I thought it was Japanese Tom Baker.
I don't know, take your pick. Anyway, yeah, gives the badge to Shunpei. He freaks out, gives it
the
back
bloody
to Haruto.
Badge.
Haruto spends most of this episode running around the city like a dumbass as he sends both him and Shunpei on a wild goose chase. You go find the guy that gave you the badge, I'll find Rinko. Now, mind you, this is the same dude who can randomly show up anytime someone is starting to be attacked by a gate.
Phantom.
Whatever.
Gate going
starting
not that
to be attacked, I think, was the way I was.
It doesn't matter.
But this is the dude that can randomly do that, and then he spends the entire
as day
running
magic.
Around the city. Running around the city, mind you,
well,
thinking, wouldn't
mind
it be great
that,
if I had
this
a
is the first
motorcycle?
Time, keep in mind, this is the first time Shunpei's seen him. Haruto hadn't seen him at this point. The only other one who had seen him was Koyami.
So he spends the whole episode running around the city, which is far more efficient than using a motorcycle. Anyway.
And then Tom Baker goes and talks to Medusa about it.
Yeah, and there's this whole fight thing with Phoenix, with Medusa, and I'm going to do what I want. No, you're not.
Now, here's the thing. Remember,
no, you're not.
Phoenix, now, here's the thing.
Are
remember
you doing
the reason why Phoenix.
What's going on?
Now, here's one thing that just doesn't make sense. Now, the reason why Phoenix wasn't allowed to go on rampages is because on his rampages would kill Gates. Now, keep in mind, who is the one person that he has with him? Someone who isn't a gate anymore. Where is he? He is literally in the abandoned warehouse district. There's no one else around there.
Well, I think it was more of like he's gone rogue.
Yeah.
You know. And that they don't want him going rogue. So she turns Phoenix to stone. He's able to break out of it. And then
he's a gargoyle now.
Anyway, finally Haruto read the script and shows up. Well, actually,
he was told.
Yeah, he was told by the dude, and then he gets on his motorcycle and decides to ride by. And Beast sees him ride by, so Beast gets on his motorcycle and, oh, wait, no, he doesn't, because he doesn't have one yet. Yeah. What about that?
His motorcycle will be called the Beast Machine.
I was just thinking that today, though. I was like, this would be a perfect time for him to get on his motorcycle and follow Haruto, and he doesn't have one.
Machine mayonnaiser.
Yeah, when's the last rider we've had that didn't have a bike?
The end.
Yeah, but if it's still
it's
in that,
it's when like, you say it.
Yeah. The end.
The end.
Yes, thank you.
That's much better. Anyway, Haruto shows up, beats up Phoenix, kills Phoenix again. Phoenix comes back strong. Now, Haruto is not very smart, is the other problem here. Because
he's only as smart as the script.
Yeah, you have an enemy that every time you kill him, you make him stronger. Only a moron
not bangs only
their head into a wall repeatedly expecting a different result.
No, but it's not
about
even
our listener.
It's not even just that. Hi, Don. It's not even just that Phoenix comes back stronger every time. you know, Phoenix is basically Doomsday. Every time he comes back, the thing that killed him last time doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So all Haruto does is keep killing him in different ways and making him stronger. Like, wouldn't you just try to contain him? Like, why not use Kinect and send him into outer space?
He doesn't have that much range.
Just connects his closet
back at his apartment.
Try to bind him or something. You know what I mean? It's just like, killing him is obviously not going to work. Having your badass sequence where you blow him up does you nothing. All you're doing is like, yay, you made him stronger. Good job.
Besides, we know what's going to happen to Phoenix anyway, basically. You know, we have a secondary rider that eats magic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be the only way to really beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I bet the series isn't smart enough to do that either.
And see, what I want them to do in that process is have Haruto blow up Phoenix again and then leave, and Phoenix pulls himself back together, and then Beast shows up and is like, hey.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Anyway, so
which means they won't do that, but
I don't know. Phoenix comes back together, and then it's like, Ermagerd!
Yeah. And then the episode ends.
Yeah.
I didn't watch either of those two episodes, and I'm kind of glad I didn't.
Still,
yeah.
No one has died. Nothing has happened. I mean, this is a horrible series.
So when this tanks, what are we going to get next year?
But that's the thing, is like, is it really tanking? Like, what are the ratings like for Wizard?
More importantly, the toy sales are good, as far as I know.
Yeah, and I mean, they've at least designed the series in such a way where it's like, okay, you need to have all these different forms, you know. And they're making, like, at least not the figure art that way, but they're making the other toys that way, where it's like you can get all these different forms and attachments, and there's rings, which are way cheaper than, you know, a lot of stuff. So, I mean, those are easy to produce. So
I miss Gaia Memories.
Yeah. That'd be sweet.
I miss series before collectible toy gimmicks.
Yeah.
Doesn't that include Double?
You got to pay the bill.
It includes Transformers as well.
But Double was kind of like some of the start of that, you know? Like,
well, Double, and on, all the collectible toy gimmicks came with the toys.
Well, it's more than just that. It became the point where it was all about having a billion different form changes just so they could sell more toys. And I guess that really started with Dino more than anything.
Yeah.
But O's is the one that shot it in the foot.
Yeah, I think O's is definitely when it started to creep into being toyetic rather than powerful.
Well, O's,
and O's tried to make it work according to the storytelling.
O's is the point where they went into the series like, well, let's just set this up so that we can release as many potential figures as possible. But then they found out, okay, nobody's interested in that. Pull it back!
To a degree, I kind of think it worked with the Count the Medals thing at the end of each episode.
Yeah, and plus the whole theme of O's of greed and collecting and hoarding works well from a toy buying standpoint as well.
Yeah.
But it didn't really seem to reflect it in the merchandising. I mean, we all know how the figure arts ended up.
Yeah. But that's where Forze got it right in terms of, like, if you think about the figure arts, like, Forze got it right by making the module sets. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to have, you know, you get the module set, and you can interchange it with that figure or even any of the other figures.
Plus, you see, in order to get all the module sets, you have to get all the figure arts.
But that was all optional. Yeah.
Yeah, but there again, too, it was optional. I mean,
I'm with those. You couldn't do that with the figure art bodies.
Right.
Nope. That's not at all.
It would have worked. Other series that was swappable and more affordable.
Those figures would have been nice to have.
So now we're at this point again with Wizard where it's like you have to get the whole a whole different figure. And it's not even repaint. It's a whole, like, you need a whole new head and chest for the thing, you know?
And the Wizard figure body just doesn't look good.
No, it looks like shit. It's all of the proportions are wrong.
The head's too big. The torso's too small. I'm sure there's something wrong with the legs. I haven't decided what it is yet.
Yeah. The shoulders look weird.
To get it in hand.
But that might be torso related, too. I don't know about that.
But, you know, the gimmick line Wizard figure looks great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not so, really. It's still Wizard.
Wizard's a good-looking costume.
Yeah, that's
good. Wizard is a great design.
Like, yeah. Honestly,
in a terrible series.
Okay, right. Like, I was watching the fight sequence with Phoenix in the warehouse, and it just struck me again how really good just the base fire, you know, form looks. I mean, the black on red looks really nice, and I was thinking, I sat there and thought, it's too bad he's going to have to turn into dragon. Because I just really love just the base fire. It looks good, you know. It's like, it's too bad. He's going to have to put on that stupid rain slicker.
Well, okay. And then, you know, with last week's episode, it's something we were talking about with this before where, you know, just to use the special attacks and everything is a long, complicated sequence. And that was shown in action last week.
Oh, yeah.
As he's trying to stack up the attacks to beat Conductor Phantom, whatever.
Yeah, and that happened a little bit. Like, and there, what ends up happening, and it's really prominent, is that you have a lot of times where, like, the bad guy is just standing there waiting for him to set up his attack.
Yeah.
You know, so you either try to do it.
It was just really obvious with how that fight was set up.
Yeah, I mean, so
you know what would have helped is if he could use any ring with any form and just gave a different elemental property.
Yeah,
like
that would be good.
If you used the defend ring with fire, you got a wall of fire instead of a wall of earth.
Well, it did work that way. He's used defend with water before.
Has he?
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
It was really early on. But, yeah, or maybe it was fire even. So, some of the rings have worked. But I think that the way they've set it up in terms of, I mean, at least the look and feel of the series is some rings work better than others. You know, a wall of fire isn't going to necessarily do you any good depending on what you're facing.
No, a wall of fire solves.
Only limiting for him. It's boring for the audience.
A wall of fire solves every problem.
It should. Yeah. No,
anybody tells you different is a liar.
Third episode or something that he used fire and defend.
Or something.
Yeah.
The point is, it's not thought out well.
It's a great, it's one of those things that was a great idea, but not, it just didn't execute very well. This idea of, okay, I've got rings and I've got power-ups, switch them out. Cool. But it's just done in such a complicated way.
See, Wizard's a series right now, like Ghost Ager, where I would like to see it get adapted so that they can keep the pretty decent fight scenes. Accepting, you know, the awkwardness with the rings. But, I mean, the combat looks good.
What would have solved that is that if they would have, instead of having one ring loop, if he would have had two or you know, something different where it's like the elemental rings are on one side and the spell rings are on the other so that he's not having to awkwardly reach across himself, you know, like he could just grab the right rings and.
Or how about if he could wear more than one ring at a time?
Well,
that works from a toy perspective, though.
Yeah, because the way it interacts with the driver, you can't really do that.
They could have if they designed the software and the driver that way.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be something they would just decide at the beginning of it. You know, stack your defend ring and your flame ring, and you get a different sound combination out of the belt.
But I think we come back around to the real issue here is that it's being designed more around selling the toys than it is around good, you know, clean storytelling and clean visuals. You know,
making internal sense.
And it's hurting.
Yeah, exactly. They need really what
what they need to do, and it's something we've talked about, I think we talked about last week, is that they need to do a multi-writer series if they want to sell a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
it would be more interesting.
Yeah. You would have the combination of making a more interesting series and still having a bunch of stuff to sell.
Yeah, so let's have Kabuto again.
Totally.
Because I don't think we're going to get another Ryuki.
No.
We can get another Kabiki.
I would go for a Kabuto.
Or even another Blade.
Are you know what would be kind of nice? If we got an adult-themed Kamen Rider show, like how we got our adult-themed Sentai with Akiba Ranger.
That'd be interesting.
Except they'd probably do it and it would turn out like Masked Rider the First.
Yeah. I would be afraid of that.
Speaking of which, let's take a break and go into Power Playback.
Go, go, Podcast Rangers! You mighty morphing Podcast Rangers! Jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?
Tammy Pete's Real Brand Mayonnaise.
The Borger Podcast.
It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
So this week on Power Playback, something Mickey found on Netflix. Mickey, why don't you tell us about
that? It's amazing. Karate Robo Zaborgar. It's pretty much the best and most tokusatsu thing ever made.
Okay, so
if you've ever seen something that was toku before, this is more toku than what you saw.
It's a remake of a show from, what, the late 70s?
Yep.
I fight for righteousness!
And unlike Masked Rider the First, which was a remake of something from the 70s, this is actually good.
As Fort Max said, it's like the Speed Racer movie in terms of how much it loves the source material.
It fully embraces its roots instead of trying to redo it all gritty dark.
Yeah, which never f***ing works.
Well, no. Just look at Masked Rider the First.
Or Shin.
Or, you know, don't. Shin... I don't like to use Shin as the example so much because Shin's at least something kind of new, where Masked Rider the First set out specifically to remake original Masked Rider, but in, you know, modern...
Spectacular failure fashion?
Modern Grimdark.
So yeah, spectacular failure.
Okay, Mickey, tell us about this movie.
So, the movie is set up in two parts. Part one is the past, I assume set in the 70s.
Or something.
And part two deals with 25 years later, set in modern times. So the movie opens up with Senator Douchebag being escorted by the police. And out of a garbage can, a flying head with silver dealy bobs flies out, powered by a rocket under the neck. That's when you first start thinking, okay, this is kind of cool. And then so she spins around the room, bumping into people, and then she lands on her body, which is in a armored bikini, of course.
Because everything is better with armored bikinis.
Yes. And so she summons her monster of the week, which is a dark helmet samurai type guy. Who takes off his face mask. Yes, his face mask comes off, really a giant pair of fleshy lips instead of a face. And he goes and starts to suck face with people, sucking out their DNA and leaving them an empty husk of a person.
And that's just the first 4 minutes.
Yes, the first couple of minutes here. That's what you know you're in for something special.
Now, when you say special...
So, around this time, the dudes run around and try to skip to the parking garage where we get to meet Daimon, who arrives on his motorcycle. And Daimon shouts out for his motorcycle to change forms, and we get Karate Robo Zaborgar, a semi-intelligent robot motorcycle that knows karate, commanded by a microphone attached to the side of Daimon's helmet.
It's one of those big, fast food takeout microphones, too.
This was the moment.
That's all they had in the 70s.
But see, this is the moment where it's like this started to take a little bit of a left turn for me, where it's sort of like, what is going on? Like, really? Is that? And so I wasn't sure, and so I had to keep going.
So I think the thing that's fantastic is Daimon has no superpowers. He doesn't transform. He's just kind of a badass. He's just violent and he knows karate. He goes around using both arms to break samurai swords and triple flip kicking the shit out of people, all while issuing commands for Zaborgar to just keep busting out one weapon after another to slice off the robot's arms and shit and blow up their faces with machine guns.
Mouth machine guns.
Yes. So after disposing of the monster, Miss Borg runs away back to the villain's evil lair. And we're treated to meet the rest of the evil villains, who are all hilarious in their own right. And they're all very misogynist.
Of course, it's Japan in the 70s.
So, I never learned what the main villain's name was, but he wears a bow tie and he's in a wheelchair. And he shoots a kunai out of his knee.
That's really all you need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's kind of like Lord Dredd from Howard Howard, only more Japanese and formal.
here's where we get the plot explained to us. The villains are draining DNA from people and powering it through this element crystal, crystal mineral they have.
Daimonium.
Yes, daimonium. Thank you. And
must be a new flavor of unobtainium.
Buzz.
Buzz, buzz, fizz, fizz.
Yes.
Okay. So they fill up their bank cylinder full of DNA and pop it into the tube. And it travels through their base and becomes a new part for their giant robot they're building. In this case, the senator they just killed causes a pinky to grow in place. A skeletal robot pinky. This is going to take a while.
And so far you have like a leg... an arm.
Yeah, so they've already slaughtered like hundreds of people.
Sort of skeleton, but no head.
Man, so, how many people are they going to kill to make a spleen?
So the villains are displeased with Miss Borg for failing so epically of just bringing back just a pinky after all that shit. So they just start whooping her ass, and they call her lame bitch machine.
I guess they fast-forwarded through the rest of the movie.
Why would you do that? You missed so much awesome.
No, I watched. I'm saying they fast-forwarded to the end.
Meanwhile, back on Earth, Daimon is at his secret karate base practicing his sweet moves with Zaborgar, when suddenly the police show up and start firing bullets at his face.
But it's okay. They just wanted to see his reaction time.
Yes. Oh, he caught them before he killed you. That's fantastic.
Like, yeah, it's his bosses.
Wonder what kind of employee turnover rate they have.
It's all a right. Secret.
So, time for...
But I know why.
Time for the secret origin story. Apparently, Daimon's dad was a huge asshole who hated his kids. And his hate seeped into his man milk... because when their mother died, he nursed them himself on his own breast.
I think it was somewhere like around this point where I went, okay, I got it. Yep, we're there.
Yeah, so he nursed his twin boys on his own man milk and it killed Diamond's brother.
No, what's great is like it's just the image of him like with his shirt pulled back and holding the baby.
Like, yes. Isn't that first and like, okay, is he just shirtless holding this baby? He's not really nursing.
That was, says, like
my brother
like,
died because my dad's man milk was too poisonous for him. Like, oh that God!
Was the point at which this whole thing like from left like complete right turn and like fast? So I was like, all right, I got it. I'm in.
I think I need an adult.
Oh, God.
Whew. It's okay, because Dr. Daimon is an adult.
Yes.
But, oh, no, he's been captured by the evil cyborgs. And they start doing creepily erotic things to him.
I would rather be fondled by a pussy. Said I would rather be
humiliated. He'd rather be humiliated by, I think he said, large, ugly men.
By large, ugly men. Well, it just so happened.
So they take him out to the balcony, and they drill his nipples in front of his son's karate school.
And, of course, the first one to notice one of his fellow students is like, hey, isn't that your dad? So
they're riding on the gigantic flying scrotum.
The butt castle. So his dad basically decides, you know, f*** you, you're not getting my knowledge, I'm committing suicide. And he jumps off the flying castle.
Well, that wasn't very sporting of him.
Well, evil Dr. Man says, oh, f*** no, you ain't committing suicide. Zap. And he blows him up in midair.
These aliens are dicks.
Yeah.
No, they're not aliens.
They're cyborgs.
Well, there's no difference.
Oh my god, it was amazing. I think it was the mustache, too.
Yeah.
The, like, solid plastic mustache thing Dad had.
So, in mourning, he finds an old tape of his dad.
Already like playing.
When he walked in. As though his father somehow sort of set it up before he was going to be captured. And it interacts.
Yes. He asked the video a question and then he says, I'll tell you.
Oh my
it's
god.
It's a sentient video.
It's advanced predictive dialogue.
Yes.
He was such a good doctor, he knew how he was going to die and how to set up this account for him.
So here's the big secret that he's been working on and ignoring his son's karate achievements all these years. Remember your dead brother? Law put his soul into a motorcycle and has it transformed into a robot with killing machine weapons.
They can turn
Enjoy!
Because that's not crazy. So ride along on the partially cybernetic body of your dead brother.
It employs your brother's DNA as a locomotive.
What is that?
I don't...
That's probably...
I don't think I want to know more than that.
Oh.
That's probably the exact explanation given in the original series.
Yes.
Because I mean, that is such a 70s That is such a 70s superpowers explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's like being bitten by a radioactive spider.
Mm-hmm. Or being caught in the middle of a gamma ray bomb.
Yeah. Of course, today we'll be using, you know, they use genetic manipulation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure in 50 years will be just as laughable to whoever's doing superhero time then.
Yes. Okay, so back in the present here.
Oh, come on. It will be us.
Oh, God, don't say that.
Well, no. Mickey and JD will be dead by then.
Surely.
Oh, sweet, blissful peace.
I'll definitely be dead. I got like 5 years tops.
That sounds like a challenge. I'll do it in 4.
Oh, I like how we're the two that's going to be dead, though.
You're
with
the oldest.
No further explanation.
Well, it goes without saying that
he's going to kill us.
He's either going to kill us or we
haven't ruled out someone dying on this.
We live such like volatile lifestyles that we're bound to be killed by something: alcohol, obesity, drugs. Yeah.
Okay, so back in reality,
this is reality.
Yes. Well, in the flashback, Senator Douchebag is being kidnapped again. Jesus. So, Daimon and Zaborgor head out on their motorcycle to go chase them down, and they encounter a small roadblock of a bunch of mooks with machine guns. And so, they crash through them once, but one of them didn't fall down. Daimon's like, oh, no, you did not screw up your move. So he turns
okay,
around.
He'll just pick up the spare.
He chases this guy down, puts him over like 8,000 times to make sure he's f***ing dead.
Now, have you mentioned who's playing Daimon?
No, I don't. Who is it?
It's Sosuke.
It's Sosuke.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yes. That's what makes it like 10 times more awesome.
Yeah, look back and think on that now. How f***ed up is it?
It's really kind of sad that I can't recognize Sosuke without Sosuke hair.
It was the mole, man. It's all about the mole.
It's the way he acts.
And that, well, yeah, that too. But yeah. And that's what I love about it, because it's like he adopts this like really deep, dramatic voice for this character. Like,
but he still acts just like Sosuke.
Yeah.
He does give amazing face in his karate scenes.
Oh my god.
He mugs like nobody's business.
Just like in the Sosuke Soul scene.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, it is some Shaft level karate going on here. Yeah. Anyway, so in the abandoned warehouse where we've got the Senator Douchebag kidnapped, his supermodel girlfriend slash super genius slash astronaut, I don't know what the hell else this bitch has done, but apparently she's amazing. they're tied up, and he's trying to tell the villainess how awesome his girlfriend is and that she should kill her instead of him.
All of this is a ploy to use her as a human shield.
Yes. So Miss Borg summons up the new monster, the diarrhea ant.
Yes. I would love to know how they came up with diarrhea ant.
Oh, man. I mean,
is it just throwing powers and names at a dartboard or something?
No.
They threw poop in a name at a dartboard.
I'm wishing this would have been done by...
They threw poop at a name and dartboard back in the 70s.
While on drugs.
But it's like, this is kind of why it's like, I'd like to see this done by a subgroup. Because I would almost bet there's a few jokes that are lost in just a general translation.
Probably. So someone needs to scrub this?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see. See what it was that subbed it. Well, that did the release.
So anybody want to go shopping while Fort Max is looking this up?
Oh, man. I can't breathe. This is awesome. I can't wait to watch the second half. I mean, I'm going to hear about it, but it's watching it is still going to be amazing.
Okay. Diarrhea and... then.
Yeah. Still fine. Well,
diarrhea ant starts spraying acid at Zaborgar, amazingly out of its mouth and not its ass.
Oh no, you gotta wait for it.
And there's much karate to be had.
Oh god.
Don't forget the bulldog.
Oh, I haven't got that far yet. But, let's see. Basically, they take out the diarrhea monster pretty quickly. And we're back inside the warehouse with Miss Borg and the hostages. And that's where we get Bulldog Truck.
Have we gotten to the tentacle rape yet?
No.
Not yet. No, that's okay. A little later.
Just making sure. He zoned out on some of it.
Yeah, so I don't f***ing know what this is, but it's amazing. It's a truck wearing a giant latex bulldog face and has arms.
That's awesome. That's pretty much all you need to know. Yeah.
It's cat drugs in automobile form.
Oh.
And so the villains are kind of turning on Miss Borg and just kind of being a bully to her.
Well, she's
kind of sucks at her job.
Female.
Yeah, well, she's kind of terrible at this. And so they stick the bulldog truck on her and it shoots out its prehensile tongue and wraps it around her and starts trying to eat her.
Well, that was after, though, it... It ate the other girl.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Oh, shit, yes. They fed the supermodel girl to the bulldog truck.
Well, I think they were intending to feed both of them, but the minister sort of pushed her in front.
Yeah.
There's so much amazing, it's easy to miss it.
Oh, but
yeah,
and also
Minister Douchebag pushed the supermodel girlfriend into bulldog truck's mouth.
You also missed the part where Zavagor, like, punched the diarrhea ant in the face, and so then he sprayed acid out of his ass.
Acid, if you will.
Yeah, onto two of the...
generals?
Yeah, or three of the generals and melted them.
Yeah.
Sigma has a high turnover rate itself.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that they just use dead people to make cyborgs.
They got a lot of those in Japan, right?
Yeah, plenty. Especially since the, the latest I see is a graveyard. Oh, God. I'm okay.
Okay. Well, Miss Borg's about to be eaten by the bulldog truck, but Diamond's not having that shit because she's f***ing hot, so he's going to save her.
No,
so
no.
Zaborgar karate jumps his way in and cuts off the bulldog's tongue with his ears. Zaborgar's ears, not the bulldog's ears.
Right.
I would have believed either one.
Yeah. At this point.
Yes, so Zaborgar starts fighting the truck by humping its face. While Miss Borg and Diamond start fighting off generals. Zaborgar takes out the truck by punching the light on top of its head, which is a weak point a Mega Man villain boss would have.
Yeah, totally.
Now I want to see that if they ever make another Mega Man game.
They won't, so don't worry about it.
Capcom.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they're just like rehashing that character into stuff that they can sell. Remember, this was cool. Can't play it anymore, but it was cool.
So the villains all retreat, and we take Senator Douchebag back to the hospital for treatment. And he's like, God damn it, Diamond. This is like the third time I've been trying to get kidnapped. What is f***ing wrong with you? You suck at this.
But he makes like, a good point, because it's totally a Sentai trope that they don't actually protect you from getting captured. They protect you after you're captured.
Yes. And Diamond's response is, yeah, I'm sorry. Your girlfriend died. It's like, but wait, didn't you
Shut
push
up.
Her into the mouth?
Oh, shut up.
He's like, what girlfriend?
I was alone.
That's what Senator Douchebag is like, you shut your whore mouth. You suck. You're lame. Stop being a douche. At which point, Diamond gets pissed off and says, what is wrong with you? You're supposed to be leading this country. At which point, he just jumps straight up on the bed and justice strikes! Karate chops the senator in the head.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's clearly the best way to win any argument is by shouting justice strikes and karate chopping wounded people.
Well, you don't want to karate chop somebody who's in perfect health. They'd hit you back.
Yeah.
Forgive me, it's hard to skip through with Netflix here.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're all drinking at that.
Yeah, they go have a drink, and then
There's gotta be drinking involved in something like this.
Yeah. That's right, Zaborgar and Diamond have a special training scene back at base.
Punch Diamond me starts... until I bleed!
Yes.
I want to feel something.
He gets skyridered up in that joint.
Oh.
But then it's time to go to the graveyard. Yes. Dee, why don't you take this scene?
I mean, it's just like great about it. It's just like the randomness of like Miss Borg shows up with her own Zaborgar style motorcycle. So you have like this dual fight where it's like she's.
But it's
fighting.
A girl Zaborgar.
Yeah. And then there's like a whole thing where like the girl Zaborgar's skirt comes up.
And Zaborgar like just sat there and had her tire crotch.
Yeah. And I think this was wiggling. Also the scene where like Miss Borg like jumps up and fires missiles out of the canisters in her chest. And like blows up like 15 graves in the graveyard.
Also, this point where Diamond will not hit her.
Yeah.
So she stabs him in the forehead.
Yeah.
You're just like, what? You said not to move. You said not to move.
And so, after being stabbed right in the brain, Diamond puts his finger over the wound, keeps it from bleeding.
Later, a Band-Aid.
Obviously, she didn't hit anything he needs much.
Yeah, he's got 9 more, right?
Well, Zaborgar trips, and Miss Borg and Diamond share a passionate kiss by accident. Which, you know, as with all women who kiss by accident, her first response is to run away and cry! So they have a motorcycle chase on the beach.
And it's not really a motorcycle chase so much.
Yeah, so
it's more like she's ride. Yeah, she's just kind of slowly driving home, and he's hanging back a couple lengths.
I particularly like though the second they shifted to this motorcycle chase on the beach, they went to a softer focus and they put sort of like a filter over a thing so it looks more romantic.
Yeah, totally.
So eventually they come to understand that we're really horny and we want to be inside each other.
In particular, Miss Borg inside of Diamond.
Yeah, so they retreat to the beach cave where we get the hottest robot sex ever.
Yes. And it is amazing.
I mean, talk about flipping.
God, that sounds so creepy.
On its Max. Head. How many times do you see a dude tentacle raped in a Japanese deal by a woman?
Yeah. The best bit of this whole sex scene, though, is how it starts off sort of normal. Yeah. And then she opens her mouth and her alien tongue comes out and starts bitch smacking him like.
Oh, God.
She extends a robot cock with a mouth out of her mouth and just dick slaps him, basically. And then she opens her breast cans and.
Billions of tentacle
tit rape.
Cans. And he's like, oh, it's so good. Because he doesn't know.
So basically, what I'm assuming happened here is that when they were making the movie, it's like, okay, there wasn't a sex scene in the original series, but let's imagine if we were on those kind of drugs now, what kind of sex scene would we make? Oh, and then everybody got really stoned and started watching porn.
Yes. Actually, that could be simplified to, what kind of porn would we make now if we were Japanese?
Yeah, exactly. Have to involve tentacles and slimy worm things.
So, of course, after they realize, oh, shit, you're the bad guy. I can't sleep with you, blah, 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 and they run away. Miss Borg goes back home, and Dr. Mann has decided that she needs some help to keep her on track because she keeps f***ing up.
Battle lesbians!
Yes.
Battle football lesbians.
Battle football lesbians.
Because that saves everything.
There is no toku that is not improved by the presence of battle lesbians. Just period.
Yeah, the quality just goes up instantly.
And so the battle lesbians basically tell her, we're here to help you, but if you stray from the path, we will f*** you up. So, meanwhile, Diamond is tracking the center, wondering why he's gone to this strange building.
You know, this also reminds me that we totally missed the S&M sequence where the Dr. Mann is, like, you know, just beating Miss Borg into submission for being interested in Diamond.
Well, I'm have...
There's a lot of beatings in this film. It's hard to...
There is, but that was, like, particularly, like, wow, that is really kinky.
Yeah, it's like Flash Gordon-level beatings.
Man, it was like, dude... I think I'm aroused.
I feel loose in my pants.
Yes. Beat her. She's naughty. She's naughty. What?
Well, so Diamond is wondering why the senator has gone to this strange building. And they cut to the building and, good lord, this building is f***ed up looking. It is the weirdest looking building I've ever seen.
It is a strange building.
Yeah. It's not just a descriptive adjective. It really is weird. So, he goes into the building, and long story short, his cop friends try to arrest him for being a secret police superhero, because they don't want him getting involved anymore. And so they
He's
handcuff
rocking
him.
The boat.
Yeah. Yes. So they handcuff him, and Diamond's like, oh, f*** no, justice strikes, and he's free. And the cops are like, hey, those are our handcuffs.
Hey, you know, we gotta pay for those.
Like, that comes out of my salary.
Those were rentals.
Man, I can't get that DVD I wanted.
Well, Zaborgor is now on the run, so he figures he calls up his bitch to say, hey, what you doing? I'm running from the cops. And she's response is, you know what? I'm just going to stay evil, sorry.
That's reasonable.
Say blah, blah, blah. So, of course, the senators get kidnapped again. And it's rock quarry time. So, Diamond and Karate Robo's Zaboria show up and find the football lesbians. And, God, how to describe this?
Well,
seven layer cake out of cat drugs, it would be this film.
Let's see, all the people they captured are in the process of being sucked up into Castle Taint's anus.
Yes.
And the lesbians have dragon boob things.
Well, no, one has a dragon ass.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so their bikinis have these metal aperture type gate things that open up and release dragons on necks.
Dinosaur soldiers. Dinosaur army, I believe.
Yes, that certainly is something that, I mean, just...
Dragon, dinosaur, close enough.
This is where Wizard got the idea from.
Except this one's doing it right.
So Senator Douchebag sees that, you know, Diamond's here again. He's like, what the hell? You still haven't got this shit right. What are you doing here?
You suck so bad.
Diamond's response is, you know what? I kind of want you to die, but I'm here anyway.
So what happened next?
Okay. So, fight. Well, it's a badassery. The cops are useless. But,
what a surprise.
Basically, what it all boils down to is that Diamond has to choose between the woman he loves or the side of justice. And...
Gee, I wonder what he picks.
Well...
it's kind of a hard choice for him, but eventually decides, I'm going to go with the woman I love.
I'm going to go with boobs!
But unfortunately, right about that time, Zaborger and Miss Borg blow each other up.
Yeah, Zaborger decides, you no, being evil is not the right choice, so f*** you, I'm killing your bitch.
And me.
So, they suicide together. Kablammo.
And then an egg falls out of her.
It's a brain. It looks like a brain.
It's a brain with a baby inside.
Because, yeah, the thing that she was trying to tell him earlier.
Yeah. Please don't kill me, I have your baby!
Yeah, apparently he knocked up a robot.
Jesus. Yeah, well, if that's the one...
You can do that.
If that's the one thing you take exception to from the sex scene earlier... I don't think you're...
undead cyborg robot.
I don't think you're really thinking about it enough. If that's the only problem you have with it.
The best part, though, is when he decides to be evil, Zaborgor starts crying.
Yes. And then you get the close-up shot, and you can tell how badly they painted the helmets.
Yes.
And then it starts just spraying out like windshield washer fluid.
Why would you build a robot that does that?
Because Japan.
Also, noticing the robot helmet, that stunt actor must be flying blind in that thing.
We've had this discussion before.
Yeah. Well, but like, there's not even an illusion of eye holes.
Yeah, I don't know where the eye holes would be on that thing if they are.
No, they probably have multiple helmets. They always do.
Yeah, that was the close-up helmet.
Yeah, but it was ridiculously badly painted.
Oh, Zaborgor also killed the battle lesbians, too, by hugging them to death.
Yeah.
Because he can do that.
After their legs, like, folded up into their bodies and became rockets and...
Yeah, nothing ever stops being amazing in this movie, basically.
No.
Just when you think you've seen everything that somebody can do, they do something crazy, like, you know, their head turns into, like, a pot of ramen or some shit. Which didn't actually happen in the movie, but it's probably in a cutscene, I bet.
It's plausible, though.
I would totally buy that happening in the movie.
Okay, so Act 2.
Yes, that was the end of Act 1. Act 2 is 25 years later in the present future. Or the futures of the past. I don't know.
Way down in Deep 13. Move on.
Seeds of the future or what?
Lie buried in your ass.
Oh.
Basically, they've caught up to Ed Begley Jr.
Yes. So, Diamond, apparently...
Now played by Spider from Kamen Rider the First.
Okay, anyway...
Without his twin brother robot motorcycle that knows karate, he's been reduced to being a chauffeur for Senator Douchebag, who's now...
But it's okay, he still has the helmet.
Yes, he's still wearing his helmet.
And his jeans.
So apparently things have gone to shit, and that Prime Minister Douchebag has sided up with the evil Sigma Force, and they're now working hand-in-hand publicly and making things kind of shitty everywhere. Things have gotten kind of dystopian.
Oh, we've gone yeah, I was going to say we've gone dystopian. Awesome.
However, even though 25 years have passed, they still have not finished the giant robot.
Well, you know, it takes a lot of DNA.
Yeah, a lot of DNA.
I'm sure they had other setbacks, too.
So, Prime Minister Douchebag fires Daimon for being a terrible chauffeur.
No, no, for braking to avoid running over an old lady who was crossing the street.
Yeah.
That's what I said, being a terrible chauffeur. A real chauffeur would not have stopped. So Daimon goes to the local watering hole to drown his sorrows, and who does he encounter there? His old cop friends.
The Happy Smile Squad.
The League of Smiles. Because even though their wives left them, and they lost their jobs, and their kids don't talk
to them. And the use
of
their legs.
Yes. They're still going to keep smiling and never stop. Except for that one moment where like, they don't think anyone's looking, and they're all frowny. And they start smiling again when they realize someone's looking at them. Which is just the most hilarious thing, that they're completely depressed. And they're all faking smiles. They remind me of Go On Yellow.
Smile, smile.
So they run outside and they see the butt castle is still sucking up people into its taint. Just, no one's even trying to stop it.
I'm like, oh yeah, it's that. That time again.
So, up in the castle, Dr. Man. I really should have learned what his name was. I guess
Dr. Akunamaya.
So yeah, like Dr. Man.
Yeah, Dr. Man. His hair is now white, so I guess he's like 180 instead of just 80 now.
He aged 100 years in 25 years.
Exactly.
I've seen people do that.
Well, he is Japanese.
Yeah.
So the robot is nearing completion. They just added a tooth and some eyes to it from, I guess, those dozen people they just poured into it. This is a horribly inefficient way to build something.
And he has asthma now.
Yeah, but if it's going to be really big, you know, one person per organ, you know, that's...
But he's got a new general now, a snotty little punk kid who's wearing a leather jacket made out of plastic, complete with tassels. There's something about this kid that reminds me of Marty McFly that I can't quite place. Does anyone else get that vibe from him?
Not really.
Okay. Anyway, so he introduces their new project, Miss Borg Akiko. Shoe not included.
So, awesome.
Basically she's wearing... Miss Borg's dealy bobs on her head, but she's also wearing a silver sailor fuku. You know, because she's classy like that.
Basically, but, if Kamen Rider Nadeshiko was a real person, it's what you'd imagine she would wear.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. She escapes, because she's not into being evil. Meanwhile, Daimon is applying for a temp job and getting turned down because he went to the interview wearing his helmet.
And his jeans.
Yeah, and his jeans. But you know, especially the helmet.
The point at which I knew I loved Daimon is that early in the... when they're having the drinking scene in the first part. And they say, well, how old are you? And he's like, I'm 21. And he doesn't look a day under 35. And you're like, yep, this is Sentai. this is Toku at his best. Like... everybody's ridiculously young for how old they are.
Well, the best thing about this failed job interview is when he gets told that he's been rejected for wearing his helmet, he gets mad and he karate chops the desk in half.
Well, yeah. Like you do.
Yes. But then, here comes the new general in his plastic leather coat to challenge him in the job recruitment office. So, let's get ready for big karate fights. Hop on the desk and face each other. Diamond's, all right. Triple dragon kick. He jumps forward, goes about 6 inches forward, falls to the ground because he's old and out of shape.
And diabetic.
Yes.
He kept going and crashed.
Well, no, he just crashed. He didn't really keep going.
Meanwhile, the general busts out his electric fist strike and blinds him. And Diamond stops him. Wait, I've had too many cream puffs to eat, and I've developed diabetes. I need my insulin. And then it gives you a helpful little description of what insulin is and why people with diabetes need it. To keep their blood sugar from rising, which is bad. And so we get a shot of Diamond shooting up insulin.
For some reason.
It's the weirdest f***ing thing in a movie of nothing but weird things.
Yeah.
Let's do a scene where the hero gets old and he gets diabetes.
I guess they ran out of ideas for stuff to shoot up.
So right before General Plastic Jacket can deliver the killing blow, he keeps seeing his head, I'm diabetic. And he can't land the killing blow before Miss Borg Akiko headbutts him away and takes Diamond back to the sex cave through the power of rocket boots. The end.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Sorry, Netflix is being retarded here. I'm trying to...
It's like, what?
Sounded like an ending.
I would believe it, you know.
Okay, here we are. Sorry. Okay, so, back in the sex cave where he knocked up Miss Borg, Akiko, he says, I remember this cave. I once had sex in here and knocked up this hot whore. And Akiko's like, oh yeah, did it look like this? And she starts playing the scene back from her eye cameras. Except it's Miss Borg's memories. And it turns out she got her memories implanted in her from her mom.
No way.
Yep, she has memories of her own conception. Her own f***ed up kinky tentacle rape conception. And she remembers it.
Nice.
There's not enough therapy on the planet.
That happened to her because it's her mom's memories. So she has memories of her dad f***ing her.
I mean, that, you know.
Start drinking and don't stop.
You know, because some people do have memories, but it's because that, never mind. Well, I'll just leave that there for you.
Well, Diamond, being a very suave gentleman, says, oh, you're my daughter. Well, if I'd known that a cyborg could get pregnant, I would never have f***ed it.
Basically, if I knew I would have made you, I wouldn't have done it.
So that pisses Akiko off, and her face changes into a giant robot that looks a lot like Otto from the Mega Man series. And she tries to kill him until she recovers, and she runs away to the beach. And while Diamond is talking to her, Orange Jacket Dude shows up and tells Akiko to accept her destiny.
Yeah, we haven't heard that a billion f***ing times.
Yeah. And so, before Diamond can get his ass kicked again, we get reintroduced to the new and improved Zaborgar, who has been rebuilt from pieces.
Its parts and some new parts.
Yes.
He has blue eyes now.
Yep.
Because he's evil.
God damn it, Netflix. Cooperate.
Well, just do the rest of it off of memory. It'll go faster.
There's too much to, like, I'll forget shit.
That's why it'll go faster.
You already
Your mom forgets stuff, faster.
It's okay. It's just...
Okay, well, anyway. Akiko knee kicks the Borgar's head off. And Orange Jacket Guy hops on the chick motorcycle and basically runs away. Let's see. Diamond and Akiko go hang out with the Smile Force and hang out with them and they repair Zaborgar. Terrified Netflix seems to skip towards the end, basically. Anyway, they recapture Akiko, take away the bags, and they put her inside the giant robot, and the giant robot becomes a giant Akiko with a naval port. Which made flies very into and drops giant into the city to recap it as you do.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can understand some of that.
I got it.
Am I Cylonic?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it kind of works for Zaborgar.
Okay, then. So, Dr. Man is wreaking havoc on the city. and the Smile League has donned their special costumes that they made for themselves to try and help things, I guess. So while they're out there pushing wheelchairs around and wearing pink spotted sweaters, Akiko is sitting in Parliament and pulling out her cell phone to talk to one of her girlfriends, I guess.
It's best not to overthink this part.
Well, the best part of this part is...
It's best not to overthink the whole fucking movie.
I just love that she starts having an inane conversation about teenage girl gossip. And it's so terrible on such a massive scale that it causes the citizens of Japan's heads to literally blow up. Like, one after the other that's exploding. Let's see. One of the Smile League gets killed. Explosively by a tit rocket because her bra opens up and missiles fly out of her tits.
She must have got that from her mother.
Giant missiles. Missiles the size of Nissans.
So it's rescue fire?
Basically.
Oh, okay.
So the other two Smile League guys left, the wheelchair guy and the main cop guy, decide they're going to do something to help out because it's the right thing to do. So
here we go.
Yes, here we go. Oh, Jesus. Okay, JD. In this scene, main cop guy.
I don't know, maybe we shouldn't spoil it for him.
Okay, did you want this part spoiled or not?
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah.
Okay. Main cop guy sits in the wheelchair. Wheelchair guy gets up on his shoulder squatting.
Oh, God.
Squatting guy starts farting.
Oh, what?
And main cop guy holds a lighter up to it and lights it. And they turn the wheelchair into a rocket-powered flying chariot.
By rocket, you mean fart.
Yes, I do. Yes. Yes. And they fly in the air to attack giant Akiko. And they fly into her shoulder and just explode.
Yes! Perfect! Oh, don't worry. That will be just as funny when I see it.
I reacted to that scene as I watched it. I was just sort of frozen with my mouth agape. My brain didn't know how to process it.
Oh, I might shit myself. That's awesome. Oh, God. Oh, that's awesome.
Exactly.
So, Zborgar is repaired, and Daimon and Zborgar head up to Akiko to start the final battle and stop her from destroying the city. And Orange Jacket Guy and Lady Zborgar are there, and they drive up her Akiko's legs and do all kinds of crazy battling shit on her tits. Akiko's flashing in and out between being aware of what she's doing and being unstoppable. And there's a lot of fun fight scenes here. And
I do that in my everyday life. I flash between being full of what I do and just being unstoppable.
I'm trying to remember if there's anything else specific I need to point out here. Oh, yes. Okay. So they blow up Lady Zborgar. And Daimon heads inside robot Akiko and finds Dr. Man there. And Dr. Man just starts firing a kunai out of his knee into
like jiggling
chest.
It.
Yes, he jiggles his knee. He likes to say how much he likes to jiggle it. While Zborgar is being sworn by little baby bulldog trucks that aren't really explained. There's just dozens of them, and he can't move because he's covered in little bulldog trucks. So, I don't recall at this point at which point Orange Jacket Guy was revealed that he was Akiko's twin brother. But
yeah,
he is.
Somewhere. Sounds about right.
Yeah. Anyway, so he takes about a dozen kunai from Dr. Man to save his dad. And how the shit they killed Dr. Man? I don't remember now.
He fell out the navel.
Was that it?
Well, he did.
Someone else help me on this.
I don't know. I was getting kind of sleepy by this point.
Yeah.
I kind of blanked out after the fart rocket.
Well, anyway, okay. Long story short, they kill Dr. Man. Akiko's robot bits blow up, and she hallucinates about her mom telling her that, oh, you'll be human now. Because that's just what happens in Toku, I guess, is that you blow up a robot and then become human.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And they'll basically live happily ever after.
That's great.
Yeah. Sorry the last part of that summary kind of sucked, but...
No, this all sounds amazing, and I can't wait to watch the second half.
Yeah, I think I might actually buy this. Even though I can watch it for free on Netflix, I kind of want to own it.
Wow.
It's out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yes.
That's why it's on Netflix.
I think it's probably one of the favorite things I've ever watched.
You know, I'll be honest with you. Like, I was even up to yesterday, like, talking to XB, and I was like, what the hell is he making us watch? Why do we have to watch this?
Then you found out exactly why.
And now I am so glad that you made us watch this, because it was amazing.
So just look, the record state, when XV forces you to watch something, it's the Kamen Rider musical.
Well,
when I forced you to watch something, it's Zaborgar.
Well, I wouldn't claim that too hard. Wasn't there something awful you made us watch?
Nope.
XV?
If there was, I'm pretty sure this overrides it.
Okay. Well, I think there was at least one thing that wasn't that great that was like you just saw one bit of it and then like...
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
Nope. That never happened.
Just not gonna fess up to that. Okay.
So anyway, next week on Power Playback, Four Day the movie.
Yay! Or as we'll properly called Everybody in Space.
I'm so excited. I've downloaded. I'm so ready.
And also next week we'll have the finale of Go Busters.
Also ready for that.
But not the premiere of Kyoryuger.
I'm ready for that, but, you know, but after. I have to have a week of mourning for Go Busters.
A week of mornings?
Yes.
Are we back to the morning after thing?
Yes.
Yes.
A week mourning can be improved by coffee.
Or booze.
Did you say boobs? I'm sorry?
Or coffee-flavored liquor.
My dad had a coffee mug that was shaped like a boob.
Did he suckle at it?
I don't know that he ever actually used it for anything.
Did it get milk from it?
But it did have, like, a hole in the nipple so you could, like, drink from it.
So it was one of those spill-proof deals.
It was like part of the coffee, like, the top of the mug had, like, a breast and a nipple with a hole. And so, yeah. It was a little strange now that I think about it.
It only occurs to you now that it was strange.
Yeah, for some reason it didn't bother me when I was a kid, but now it seems a bit odd. Maybe you shouldn't drink coffee out of it. Maybe you should drink milk or something out of it.
Papa's milk.
That was amazing. Oh my god.
And I like the fact that he got called out on it later in the movie. That was not something I was expecting to come up again.
How could you let someone like that drop?
Yeah.
More old stuff needs to get remade into movies in that style.
Absolutely.
I think it would be a big success if it was this good.
That's the way, like, a Godzilla movie needs made, you know?
That's kind of how Godzilla 2000 was, where it just kind of reveled in being a Godzilla movie. But it wasn't nearly as awesome as that.
But, though, I think basic, though... one of the other best movies that I've ever seen was also done in this style, but pretty much that's pretty much what the 1980 Flash Gordon movie was.
Flash.
Ah.
that's like a hook, you know.
It's like saying Marco.
Yeah, you have to like follow it up. It's awesome.
Hello.
Thank you.
I don't know. I don't see the 1980 Flash Gordon movie in quite the same way as this.
Which one's better?
Zaborgar, obviously. It just needs a Queen theme song.
It needs some Pierce Brosnan. Mm. Or Timothy Dalton, rather, sorry. Mm. One of the Bonds.
No, but think about if Zaborgar had... Think about if Zaborgar had its theme song done by Queen.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Somebody get to work and edit that video.
Well, there's one problem.
We just get Freddie Mercury to rise from his grave like in that one video.
Maybe yeah. we can get Dr. Man to make him a cyborg, and then...
Right.
Get on it, Toei.
We need reanimated cyborg Freddie Mercury, and that will solve all of the world's problems.
Yes, pretty much everything would be solved by that. Oh.
Either that, or it needs to be like Big O again, where they just rip off the style of the Queen song.
Mm. I don't know. Imagine how more awesome the Big O theme song would be if it was sung by Freddie Mercury.
Well, would he be zombie robot Freddie Mercury then, or
he'd have to
original
be at this
Freddie Mercury? Yeah. No, but if he had done originally,
well, it would have been robot zombie Freddie Mercury with Big O.
Well, I don't know when he died.
It's like 2004.
Wasn't really? Big O?
Oh
like
wait, no,
99?
That was season 2, I think.
Yeah, wasn't Big O in 99 or 2000?
Yeah, I was gonna say I thought it was a little earlier than that.
It was.
Yeah, what's
and
it?
Then it took like 4 years to get the second season done.
Yeah. Yeah, season 1 was 99, season 2 was 2003.
Good lord.
And then most of the second season was just disappointing. Because everybody forgot what they were doing.
That much time, yeah.
It's kind of like how Regeneration 1 is versus the original Marvel comic. Simon Furman just lost everything in the intervening decades.
Yeah, it's a lot of beer and drugs and, you know.
And blood pudding, I guess, because he's English.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know what they do over there.
They eat blood pudding and drink tea. That's all I know.
And a lot of other crap.
And they play with crickets.
Yes. They love crickets.
That's totally what the game Cricket is, right? You
yes.
play with crickets?
Yeah. I think it's about hitting crickets with bats. Like, they jump around and...
Well, hell, then I've been playing cricket for years and I didn't even know it.
See? You might be good at it, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so anything else for this week?
I think that's about it for now.
Yeah, we ran kind of long on the Zaborger thing.
Sorry, I kind of went off the rails at the end. My bad.
XV will fix it in post.
Wait,
don't you worry.
You implied the film was ever on wheels to begin with.
Rails, he said, not wheels.
Yeah.
No,
this film was on a rocket ship heading straight to awesome.
Powered by a fart.
Into a shoulder.
Straight through the cliff.
A segue of flatulence.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2013.
Yeah, want me to send you the karaoke version of the theme?
I think I have an instrumental.
The instrumental has the, well, is a bit different because that has the instrumental instead of the vocals.
It doesn't matter, it would still work.
Well, it won't work as well as the karaoke, which just doesn't have the vocals at all and just has the backing music.
You're just too picky, that's all.
Hey, I have it sitting right here on my desktop.
I may even have the karaoke version anyway.
Just have sex and get it over with.
Ew. Yeah. You have sex with him.
I like how he just laughs.
Meanwhile, Fort Max is sitting there with no reaction at all.
Right.
Hey, it's I'm like, used to this.
It's like, well... not busy.
スーパーヒーロータイム。次回もお見逃しなく。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.